Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Guy who covered it all for the Chronicle Telegram, BrownsZone.com, where you can watch all of his or read all of his Browns coverage, joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. He's Mr. Scott Petrak. Hello, Scott.
How are you, Scott. Buddy?
What's going on, guys?
Did you recover?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, good. No first round pick. And then in the second and third rounds, you go defensive line, offensive line. And I told Andy earlier, that to me just screams, okay, our roster was pretty good. Let's just reinforce the lines. I can't have any arguments at all.
Yeah, I think you're right, Jeff. And, you know, it's about the future more than 2024 to me. And I think you saw that with several picks. But it starts with those first two, right? The Browns went out in March. They re-signed Maurice Hurst II. They re-signed Shelby Harris. They added Quentin Jefferson, all at defensive tackle. So they didn't need a guy to come in right now and play up front. But will they in a couple of years? Yeah, those guys are getting older. And you get Michael Hall Jr., you pair him with Siaki Ika. That's obviously the hope for the future, is that those guys are your starting defensive tackles. Now, that's not saying Hall can't come in and contribute right now, but there's not a lot of pressure for him to step in and have a huge role because they don't need him to. And you look at Zach Zinter, the third-round pick, the Browns have Joe Bitonio, Wyatt Teller, and Ethan Posick all set at the interior of the line. Now, we saw what can happen last year, right? Jack Conklin gets hurt in week one. DeJuan Jones, the rookie's forced in. That could happen. But the Zinter pick is about depth, and it's about, okay, what's the succession plan as Bitonio and Teller get older and their contracts are going to come up after 2025. And it's about the future. It's about depth. And I think we saw that with those first two picks for sure.
Were you surprised by anything this weekend?
I was surprised they didn't make any trades. You know, we know Andrew Berry is aggressive. We know he likes to make trades. I think it bothered him to some degree that he wasn't able to pull one off. So that surprised me. And I understand the reason. You know, when they took Hall, they could have traded back and gotten to the fourth round. Glenn Cook, the assistant GM, said their phone was ringing off the hook. They had a bunch of calls. Nothing they liked more than staying put and picking Mike Hall. They thought there's a lot of value in him more than just getting the fourth-round pick to get the fourth-round pick. And then once you don't have that fourth-rounder, it makes it difficult to move around on day three. So I was surprised. I still thought they'd pull off something small just to do it. But instead, Andrew Berry stayed there and he took all six picks.
Scott, when they took Zinter in the third round, I thought, did they think Joel Bitonio's leaving after a year? Do they think they don't want Wyatt Teller back after a year? And you just said 2025. I don't mind that plan at all. but they have two really good guards. And I thought, I love the idea of quality depth there. But boy, quality depth sitting for 2 years feels a little funny to me.
Yeah, it's interesting, Jeff. And it had me going back to double check the contract status of everybody in the interior of the line. And, you know, Betonio and Teller are set to have huge cap hits, like dead cap, for the next 2 years. So, you know, I mean, Joe Betonio was banged up a little bit last year, right? Enough where after the season, I asked him if he was going to retire, you know, or, you know, are you sure you're coming back? And he said, yeah. And he said, Andrew Berry asked him the same thing. So, you know, it's Joel's going to be 33 this season. It's getting to that time. My expectation is he's going to try to play out the contract, if not longer. You know, I've had no sense that he's looking to get out of the league. He still plays at a high level. But you get older, the injuries start to pile up. Those are the kind of questions that come up, right? So there's no guarantee he makes it through 2025. You know, it's hard to think about if you're a fan. I think it's probably hard to think about if you're the Browns because he's been, you know, almost Hall of Fame or maybe Hall of Fame caliber throughout his career, right? But so we don't know, you know, you never know in football, right? But he signed with big cap numbers through 2025. So is Wyatt Teller. Now maybe, you know, Zinter could slide into center. He said he's taken snaps there, never in a game, but he practiced a bunch because the Michigan had some issues there and brought in a guy. So, you know, Ethan Posick, his contract is more amenable to making a move there after 2024. So, you know, right. It seems unrealistic to say, okay, Zinter's going to sit for 2 years, but that is a possibility if nobody gets hurt, or maybe he moves into center for a year until a spot opens up at guard.
It's just impressive to me the depth that they're putting into things. Last year, you get DeJuan Jones, who clearly shows he can play. You have three guys at tackle now, assuming Conklin and Jedrick Wills are all good to go, and DeJuan Jones comes back from his injury. Three guys who you think could start for you. And now at guard, you have three guys who you think could start for you, assuming Zinter comes back and he's healthy and good to go. And at center, you have Luke Whippler, who you brought in, who a lot of people are high on, behind Posick right now. And you brought back Michael Dunn. I think the depth there is incredible, and I just think it is you can't have too much depth on the offensive line, Scott, I think. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate. I mean, you can only keep so many guys, right, whether it's 8, 9, or 10 on the active roster. But you need depth there. We saw it last year. I mean, they were down to – I mean, not only did Wills and Conklin and Jones get hurt, I'm going to lose the name, but they had another guy that they signed. He played like five snaps against Seattle and was done for the season. So they wound up having, I mean, I remember talking to Joel Betonio about it, and he said they were down to probably their, I don't know, fifth and seventh tackles by the end of the year, right? So obviously you can't have that many guys on your roster, even on your practice squad. They had to go get guys to come in and play. But yeah, you want to build it up. And I think the key there is you want it to get younger, right? Michael Dunn's been around for a while. Luke Whippler's obviously in his second year, but you wanted a young guard that you could forecast for the future. And it wasn't a year to year thing like Dunn is, you know, Whippler's a sixth round pick, right? He didn't play much last year. You don't know exactly what he gives you. And I think Zinter is, you know, obviously he was big time, all Big Ten, right? All American. He's a guy that can come in and you feel confident that there is this plan moving forward and a long-term plan. And I think that's important. And yeah, the depth overall is important, but it's the quality young depth, I think, is a critical factor.
Size up the wide receivers with Thrash entering the in the fold here, and what does this mean for the guys that are already on, and what does it mean for Jamari Thrash as the opportunity sitting there in front of him, but he's still a fifth round pick?
Yeah, I think it's just a bunch of guys competing for spots, right? I don't know if anybody has, I mean, obviously you got the top three, right? Cooper and Judy and Moore. And then I would put Tillman as your number four. He showed some last year, some physicality, obviously the size he has. There were issues there. It wasn't perfect last year, but with the ball in his hands, I thought he made plays. I thought he made contested catches. He ran after the catch a little bit and needs to get better. So I would give him the edge is that fourth spot. But then you have David Bell and Michael Woods II coming back after missing all of last year with the Achilles tear. And they throw James Thrash in there. And I think they're all competing for roster spots slash playing time. And I think he fits. You know, they love the way he separates. That's what Andrew Berry kept coming back to, is the fact that Thrash can get open. And obviously that's a big deal for a receiver. So I think they have high hopes for him. But they have high hopes for everybody they drafted, right? And David Bell's a third-round pick. Michael Woods is a sixth-rounder. So I think they get thrown into a pile, and the best men win.
Scott Pedrak joining us from brownzone.com, covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram. Andrew Berry has built a roster that is so ready to compete now that I think it's really impressive. And then every conversation goes back to the guy taking snaps. It doesn't change after the draft, except for this, Scott. The roster is even more ready to compete now with you know, defensive help on the line, offensive help on the line. When do you think we're going to get a feel for where Deshaun might be in his recovery? Is it going to be August in training camp and maybe preseason games, or do you think we're going to hear something before that?
That's a good question, Jeff. I think there's a chance. We know mid-June in the mandatory minicamp, I think there's a chance he practices. But, you know, a couple weeks ago when we spoke to Deshaun Watson, he talked about some in his camp wanting to be conservative and think they might be better waiting till training camp. So my guess is we'll start to know at the Greenbrier at the end of July is how he looks. And if we can say, you know, I don't know how much you can judge from the first practice, the first handful of practices, but it's a quarterback, right? He's throwing the ball a bunch. If he's taking all the reps, if the ball's coming out of his hand like it's supposed to, if the shoulder looks fine, if he's not in pain, I think we'll have a better idea at the end of July if he's on track like everybody thinks he is on track to be ready week one. Not just ready, but full speed, ready to go, better than ever, as he said.
It seems like a weird draft to be talking about grading out the drafts, but compared to the rest of the AFC North, how do you think the Browns did?
Yeah, I think you had to decide if you want to grade it on a curve, right? I mean, they don't have a first-round pick, and it's really hard to stack up when you don't have a first-round pick. Now, if you just go pick by pick and forget about that, you know, I think they were solid. You know, I think it's a B-minus maybe draft. Just because it's, like I said, it's not about right now. It's hard to say, you know, a lot of the draft we talk about, and whether it might be silly to view it this way, but it's okay. Did they address this need, right? Mm-hmm. But the Browns didn't have a lot of needs to address, right? So they added depth. They got younger at spots. They got a receiver, which is always helpful. And in another deep receiver draft, I think you have to take a receiver. They took a cornerback, right? And that's an important position, right? They got two defensive tackles, offensive line, all that stuff. So, you know, there wasn't a spot where you go, okay, you plug this guy in, he's going to be your starter. And that makes it, I think, more difficult to judge. And I think it was I think you described the Browns draft as boring, right? They didn't move around. They didn't have a fourth-round pick. They waited, you know, they didn't have a Thursday pick. They waited a long time Friday to pick. They waited a long time Saturday to pick. So I think it was just like an average draft. And I think that's probably how it was set up to be for them.
Scott, riddle me this one. Did we learn anything in the draft with the six quarterbacks going in the top 12, Atlanta taking Penix when they already have guaranteed gazillions to Cousins, that could lead to anything in Cleveland? I just thought it emphasized even more so, hey, the life of an NFL quarterback doesn't necessarily continue just because he's getting paid. Could that be something that happens here? I'm looking down the road after this year.
Yeah, that's interesting, Jeff. Is it continuing the trend of what Denver did with Russell Wilson, right? That if you decide a guy's not what you're looking for, you got to move on, no matter if it's costing you a ton of money and no matter if you still owe him guaranteed money, if it's going to kill your salary cap. I think we are seeing that trend, and that would be relevant to Deshaun Watson. You know, what makes it difficult with Watson is a couple things. It's all guaranteed money, right? Throughout until he's got 3 years left, right? So through 2026, it's all guaranteed money. It's hard to walk away. It kills your salary cap. The Browns haven't seen him. We haven't seen him play, just be on the field enough to get any kind of judgment. I know, you know, right, if he's healthy for 17 games this year or enough games this year, we'll probably get a better view. And then I think you can make that kind of determination. And if you're 3 years into a five-year contract, maybe that is a tipping point where if the Browns felt the need to make a move, that would be the timing. I get all those things. There's been no indication from the organization that they're considering that at all. But I think your point is valid, Jeff. It also speaks to, it feels like there's these two giant tiers, right? All these quarterbacks get forced up. If anybody has any belief that they could turn into anything, they get drafted really high, and then there's a huge chasm before somebody gets drafted that can maybe stick on a roster, maybe turn into a backup. And, you know, that's not how it used to be. You used to see quarterbacks drafted in every round, but that's certainly changed, it feels like, over the last couple of years.
With that in mind, what did you think when Atlanta drafted Penix?
Yeah, it made no sense to me at all, right? You know, we saw that video, the picture of Arthur Blank, the owner, talking to the GM in the draft room, you know, and who knows what the context of that is, right? But it felt like it summed up that pick. And I just keep walking away with, okay, if you decided in March you're going to pay Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed over the next 2 years, was there no consideration? Like, had you not studied Michael Penix Jr. yet? Right? Like, it just, they don't seem to match up at all. And I get needing a long-term plan at quarterback. I understand that, but he doesn't seem like the right guy. He's older. He's ready. It feels like he's ready to play now. He had two ACL surgeries. None of it makes sense to me.
I thought the same thing. I thought, pull a Minnesota, go sign Sam Darnold for a year, and then get Penix, you know?
Right.
Instead, you've got $100 million guaranteed to a guy who's 35 coming off a big injury, and then you use the eighth pick. It was really weird. Good thing Arthur Blank has a lot of money.
Yeah, it was almost like they hadn't studied Penix, or the coaches hadn't, and then somebody fell in love with him. It's like, well, we really like him. It doesn't matter if we have Cousins. But, I mean, that doesn't make any sense either.
In a weird way, does it feel like they made the final mortgage payment on Deshaun Watson now that we're done? Isn't this what this feels like?
That's nice.
They made their final mortgage payment, or their final car payment on Deshaun Watson, and there's almost this...
You own it now.
Yeah, there's this feeling of clarity moving forward now that, you know, what happens is not based on Deshaun Watson. I guess moving forward in other drafts.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Andy. I mean, I wrote they finally paid off their debt, and that's how it felt to me, right? Because it's hung over this organization for 3 years. And I know Andrew Berry said that's not something he thinks about, and, you know, whether or not that's truthful or not, I don't know. I know, you know, once you make the trade, you got to move on, right? You're not getting those picks back. So I understand that part of it. But we all know that's why they didn't have a first-round pick again. That's why they didn't have a fourth-round pick, right? And that pick goes to, you know, Houston wound up, I think they traded and got it back, but it was a spot that the Browns would have had. And they take Kate Stover, the Ohio State tight end, right? And, you know, I thought he would have been a good fit for the Browns. And that's just part of this haul to get Deshaun Watson. So, yeah, it feels like kind of an ending to that controversial blockbuster trade. Now, you know, we can't grade it yet, and there's still a lot left to determine how, you know, those guys that the Texans wound up with, how they play, how Watson plays. You know, Jerry Jeudy, the Browns used one of the picks. You know, the Browns got one pick back in the Texans 20, and one of those picks was used to get Jerry Jeudy. So that's all, you know, you can never really judge it, but there's certainly, I think, a timing to, okay, that was the last pick the Texans have, and the Browns are going to get their full complement of picks back next year, including, finally, another first-rounder.
Scott, have about 15 seconds. Next up, contract extensions for a coach and a general manager?
Yeah, I mean, I thought they were coming before now, so that makes sense. You know, you could see it with players, and next up, we do have Greg Newsome. I assume they pick up his fifth-year option by Thursday. So, but yeah, I mean, I think Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry deserve it. The Haslam said they're going to get him. So it's just a matter of when.
Scott, thank you, buddy. Good coverage.
Thanks,
over
Scott.
The draft. You can go back and read everything Scott wrote. Brownzone.com. Brownzone.com covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate it, fellas.
Scott Petrak joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I thought defensive tackle might be the spot they go with, and they did. obviously, my affection for wide receivers runs deep, Andy. I would have maybe preferred the best wide receiver on the board, but a lot of guys went. Instead, you get a local guy who played at Ohio State who's good on the defensive line.
Yeah, he's good.
Hard to go wrong there. Seriously. How do you go wrong there?
How many times have we watched a draft and just make the common sense pick here?
And they did.
Don't try to rewrite the world. No one had to be the smart. Like, no one had to be the smartest guy in the room this draft. I look at this draft and I'm like, they did exactly what they're doing. The fact they didn't have to make a trade, even though they would have liked to, and with seventh rounders, who really cares? But, you know, it was a very plotted, well thought out, yep, kind of positionally filled needs, build depth kind of a draft that no one's going to have a huge party for. No one's having a big party for this draft. It's what they needed to do, and they paid off the bill on Deshaun Watson, and now everything moves forward as far as the drafts are concerned. And hopefully that, you know, you worry about pick 32 next year, pick 31, pick 30. That's what I want to worry about next year. I want the draft to not matter. I really do. Like, oh, they got that guy? And then when you're picking 31, 32, 30, 29, there's the pressure is so much different than all of these years where we're sitting, oh, I picked him number one overall. Oh, he was a fourth pick overall. Oh, he was a 12th pick overall. We got to get him on the field. No. Like, I don't like living in that world. It's too much pressure, and you're trying to instantly take a guy that played college football and implement him and plug and play right in the NFL. There just aren't that many guys. There aren't that many. So now the Browns look like they're in a position where it's, you know, kind of, all right, let's reload, but reload for the future. And I hope this stays consistent over the next few years.
The Zach Zinter pick is a really interesting one to me. NFL.com has him ranked as the fourth best guard coming out of college this year. He obviously is injured, has the broken leg, but again, broken bones tend to heal. And he's 6'6", 310. Andy, you can plop that guy in there at guard. If, heaven forbid, something happens to Petonio, something happens to Wyatt Teller. Personally, the only thing I thought about it was, gosh, I wonder if that means they want to move on from, and you're not going to move on from Petonio. Petonio is going to retire.
Right.
At some point.
As a Brown.
You're not going to tell Joel, hey, thanks, bud, we're letting you move along for your final year. You're going to go be a Charger. That's not going to happen.
No, and we're not going to get in a franchise bidding war either.
Right. And I didn't want, and I don't want that to happen with Wyatt Teller. I don't want that. So it made me think, well, what a nice depth pick to get a big-time guard who is your third guard. And, you know, he'll play. Maybe you mix him in a little bit. He gets a little bit of time. But if somebody gets hurt, you can put somebody in there, and hopefully Zinter is the guy who's good enough to step in and play that way, Andy. And as Scott said, contractually, you've got 2 years of Petonio and Teller together where it would not be economically great for you to move on from them. Okay. Well, what do you want? You want depth. That's exactly what the Mike Hall pick was on the defensive line. Add him to the mix. Man, you got a lot of defensive tackles now. And you put Zinter. He's what a quality backup. Think about this. If you go with the same starting offensive line that you had last year, Juwan Jones and Zach Zinter are backups.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, Juwan looks like he's Pro Bowler waiting to happen. And Zinter, really highly thought of. Those guys would be backups for next year. I think that's really impressive. I really do. Dirty Dan's in Cleveland. Dirty Dan.
Dirty Dan, what is up?
Happy Monday, fellas. How are we doing?
We are good.
Awesome. Awesome. I just had a couple of thoughts on the Browns draft that I'd like to share with you guys, if that's all right.
Dirty Dan presents his thoughts on the draft. Go ahead, Dirty Dan.
My thoughts are, first, if Zach Zinter doesn't play a down for the Cleveland Browns, it is a great pick, in my opinion. I get that you have Petonio and Teller ahead of you, but you have the heart and soul leader from a 15-0 national champion whose recruiting classes are around 10th or outside the top 10. I want that guy in my locker room. He's not going to be eating dubs like Jameis. He's going to be getting to work, okay? Second, the Browns did not draft Bo Nix in the first round, which is absolutely awesome. Great job. The last point.
I've never heard like a team get applauded for not making a pick because they didn't have one in the round.
I don't know how you draft that guy number 12. That guy sucks.
Okay.
Had a great year at Oregon, Dan, and supposedly Sean Payton loves him. Good luck to them.
I had 9 years of college football too, I could maybe make a timing pattern throw. Okay, Jeff.
I'm just sharing information with you, Dan. It was 70% of his passes traveled less than 10 yards, something like that.
Yeah, that guy sucks. That guy stinks. Third, I'm going to throw a couple of names at you guys. I'm going to wonder if they ring any bells to you. John Randall, Aaron Donald, Jerome Brown. I'm going to give you another one. 6'1", 285, Michael Dean Perry.
Oh.
And guess what? None of those guys grew up in Garfield. None of those guys went to Streetsboro. Love the draft. Thanks, guys.
All right, Dan. Thank you very much.
Dirty Dan's Breakdown, available on a podcast near you.
Michael Dean.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What a nice fella. Had an endorsement when he first got here.
Mm-hmm.
I went out and did a story with him. He was at a grocery store and he was selling Frookie cookies.
Ding!
And it was rookie for Frookie cookies. And Michael Bean's pitching the cookies. He was really good.
Didn't he have his own box at the Irish fast food place? Yeah, I remember he was doing commercials for them.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, you know what the place I'm talking about is, right?
I don't know that either.
The fast food place. The Irish fast food place.
Oh, wait.
Biggest one.
Oh,
in the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was the MDP, wasn't it?
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember that?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Irish. I'm thinking.
What were you thinking?
Potatoes? I don't know. I had something going on there. but now I'm back.
Thank you. Welcome.
You're welcome.
Jeff Phelps coming back to the show.
I'm so impressed at the way they added depth at key spots. So that's outstanding. Now riddle me this one.
I haven't heard one complaint about this draft from anybody.
Well, Andy, it's hard to complain. It's like, here, let me sum up the draft. Ready? Well, we don't have a first round pick. We have a second round pick. We got a pretty highly thought of defensive tackle, and he's local, and we could use a defensive tackle. Okay. There, that's the draft. We got a national champion from Michigan who's 6'6", 310, and is a good guard.
No one gets super grumpy when you take beef.
We have guards.
They took beef.
Yeah, we have guards. Oh, now we got another one.
The only time people get super grumpy when you take beef is when there's guys who are lighting up fantasy rosters that people are paying attention to.
If you had taken a guard
at
number four instead of Marvin Harrison Jr.,
right,
people would have been grumpy.
Then people get grumpy when you take beef.
And we may have a new favorite player from South Dakota in Miles Harden. Our other favorite player, obviously, Jamal White.
This is not nice of me to say. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even bothering to look yet, and maybe ever, at anything past Mike Collins X Center.
Oh, sugar booger.
See, you've let down South Dakota.
Well, listen, you get Jamari Thrash in the fifth round, wide receiver, Louisville. And he transferred into Louisville. So where was he? Georgia Southern, I believe. Hmm. So great. And we have third round draft choices sitting around at wide receiver who haven't shown they can play yet. So I'm not going to get excited about a fifth. And they got a linebacker in the sixth, Nathaniel Watson from Mississippi State. Might come in and do a nice job. Great. Miles Harden, as you mentioned, great. Juwan Briggs from Cincinnati, great.
He may be the steal of the draft, by the way, because there were some
issues,
crazy things that happened.
Well, okay. Well, I'm not even bothering to look. If any of those guys hit, good for them. I think it'll be a really good thing. If they don't, that's okay too. I mentioned the quarterback stuff. I want to talk about that next because, man, it was weird in this draft, and I wonder if it affects Cleveland. Coming up on Baskin and Phelps. It's this with the quarterbacks that gets to me. Teams are losing patience with quarterbacks. Even the veterans aren't getting enough or as much time as you might think that they would. For instance, Russell Wilson goes to Denver. They blow him up, and it costs a ton of money. And the Steelers get him for a song, okay? Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta, gets huge money, 100 mil guaranteed, I believe is the figure. And yet they go out and they get a guy with the eighth pick. And then you have Denver looking for a quarterback, and they overdraft by Dirty Dan's account and by all accounts in taking Bo Nix at 12. And it just makes me think that the entire idea of a franchise quarterback is becoming less and less of a viable thing. And I say that because teams are looking for franchise quarterbacks like crazy. We hear it all the time. But I don't know that a lot of them are sticking to it, Andy. And they're quickly, if you don't have the guy, you don't have Josh Allen, you don't have Justin Herbert, you don't have Patrick Mahomes, man, you're still looking. And that makes me just think, okay, Deshaun, just go do what you're supposed to do, and things are fine. And if he doesn't, Andy, I'll bet he's not back for a fourth season here.
So
I know financially it would be a big mess.
What is the threshold of sticking with your quarterback? Where is the time when you hit the eject button? You bring someone in, you draft someone in the first round, you got a quarterback that you drafted in the top 15, and now all of a sudden, okay, you're a rookie. I'm going with the draft, not the Deshaun part of it. That you say, all right, we're bringing this guy in. When do I hit the eject button? And should you be looking at it that way, or should you be just going, no, we're never hitting the eject button. We drafted this guy here for a reason. We believe he can be our franchise quarterback, and that all the problems around this guy will not be his fault. It'll be everybody else's. It'll be wide receivers that couldn't catch passes. It'll be offensive linemen that couldn't make blocks.
I read one thing with all the draft analysis,
mm-hmm.
and it was by Greg Rosenthal, who's been on the show, from NFL.com. And Greg wrote less about the Browns than he wrote about anybody, any team. He wrote next to nothing about the Browns.
Well, we didn't have a first-round pick.
Well, no, hold on. I thought it was the most telling thing I've read.
Mm.
And it's like a sentence. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
And this was his draft analysis.
And this is who again?
Greg Rosenthal, NFL.com.
Okay.
For the third consecutive year, the Browns didn't have a first-round pick, thanks to the Watson trade, who was outplayed by a backup quarterback in each of his first two seasons with Cleveland so far.
Okay. That's all he wrote?
That's his entire draft analysis of the Browns. But think about it. And I had to think, and I thought, oh, that's true. Because you could make the argument that Jacoby Brissett was better.
Yeah.
And you could certainly say that Joe Flacco was better.
That's a slam dunk.
Well, you brought in Jameis Winston. If Deshaun can't go again, let's just say, you know, whatever happens, if the guy gets hurt again or if he's not ready or whatever, and Jameis plays well, and you've done all this to get Deshaun, and 3 years in a row, the guy you bring in as a backup is better, that tells you an awful lot about, A, your system, that it's good, and B, the guy you invested in, that he's not as good as you thought he was. So that's why I think, Andy, this year, I honestly think he's got to do a good job and stay on the football field, or I don't know that he's going to see a fourth year in Cleveland, despite all the financial ramifications.
Because the bill is paid?
No.
Does that make it easier?
No, because you're running out of time. You've built this team.
I'm sorry, the draft bill is paid. The financial bill is not anywhere near being paid.
You've built this team to compete right now. If it doesn't work next year, you're going to draw it out for another 2 years?
No.
That's my point. If it doesn't work this year, you're going to sit around for two more and keep your fingers crossed that it works? That's my point. I don't think they will.
I don't think so either. So I think we're on the same page. I think this is a make or break year for Deshaun Watson. And that they'll have to figure out the ramifications fiscally if they want to cut loose at the end of the year. But I don't even want to go into it right now because I know what I think. I know what I want. And I'm hoping that everything works out okay. I think we're all sitting here with our fingers crossed saying. Because when you look at everything that's around the quarterback position, it looks pretty good. Looks good. Offensive line looks good. Defense, hopefully they don't give up.
Everything looks good.
They don't give up 45 points again in a playoff game. Hopefully that won't happen again.
You don't have Nick Chubb, but you have plenty of other running backs.
But you may have Nick back. You may have Nick back. That's the other thing, too.
So. You've added to the wide receiver group.
It's the only question this team has. It's been the only question this team has had for 3 years. How is Deshaun Watson look? Does he look like the top-tier quarterback that you ponied up for? Is the return you're getting from him exactly what you thought? If the answer is no, then you need to go another direction. And back to Jeff's quarterback thought, I mean, the idea of moving on from these quarterbacks, it's kind of the same timeline that these coaches have. It's kind of the same timeline these front offices have had, where it's like, You've got 2 years and the coach gets canned. You can't figure it out in 2 years, coach is out. Can't figure it out 2 years after that, the whole front office is blown up. I mean, that's the timeline. Yeah. It's like, you got 2 years.
I think it's interesting. Think about what Denver did. And they got rid of Russell Wilson. They're eating that money, right? You got to eat all that money this year.
Right.
And you're going to go into the season with Jarrett Stidham, Ben DiNucci, Zach Wilson, who was a second overall pick, and the Jets, you know, in 3 years, boom, he's out, and Bo Nix, who most folks had listed as a late first-round pick at the earliest, or a second-round pick, who you took at 12 as your quarterbacks. And you're going to tell Zach Wilson and Bo Nix basically to fight it out. And if you're Bo Nix, or better yet, if you're Sean Payton, you got to think Bo Nix is the guy who's going to get the best look at that, don't you think?
Absolutely.
He has said competition with Zach Wilson. And think about it. Just a couple of years ago, Zach Wilson was highly thought of to be the second overall pick in the draft. And Bo Nix was thought to be a second-round pick. And now he's the guy. That just shows the impatience with quarterbacks coming into the league. Kenny Pickett's now sitting in Philadelphia. He was going to be the guy in Pittsburgh, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nope. They moved on from him. They brought in Russell Wilson. And then you got Justin Fields.
Yeah, I never felt like there was kind of the local darling thing.
Without question, Andy, except for one thing. They gave him a chance, but not a ton of a chance, did they? He got hurt you know, maybe they thought this didn't work, but that just adds to the impatience of what's going on at the quarterback spot. That's the thing of it to me. These teams aren't waiting around.
I mean, it's just if you're the Steelers, don't you feel like you just wasted a first-round pick on a franchise that normally doesn't waste first-round picks?
Except for the fact that he wasn't top 10.
Okay.
You know,
it's still a first-round pick.
I know.
For the Steelers, who have many years haven't been in that top 10.
A first-round pick late in the first round at quarterback seems to carry a little bit of a stigma that, well, you didn't think highly of him. If you had drafted a defensive lineman with that pick, well, you'd have thought, hey, he's got to come into play. He's going to start. He's going to be good.
Yeah, but you can only pick where you're at.
No, I know. Yeah. But my thought is, Andy, we got a quarterback, but he was in the 20s. Okay, well, we see all the time guys who were in their 20s, or not age, picked in the 20s, Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers. You see it time and time again, both by the Packers, who both sat for what, Dan, 3 years each?
I think so. Either two or three.
I'm looking at the Steelers' first-round picks over the years, and it's just like, man, they got a lot of impact players in there.
Right.
What's more detrimental to your franchise? Moving on from a bad pick quickly?
Or hanging on to it
and talking yourself into it?
It's hanging on to them. And that's why I think this is going to be a critical year for Deshaun Watson in Cleveland.
The Steelers have only had two top 10 picks since 1989.
But they've moved on at quarterback. And
yeah.
I would say both guys they pick are better than Kenny Pickett. And I wonder if it doesn't fly in Cleveland if the Browns do the same. And I even wonder this. Let's just say for whatever reason Deshaun doesn't play well, he gets injured, whatever, and Jameis comes in on a one-year contract and plays well. I mean, Jameis has played well in his career. Is he surefire, outstanding star quarterback? No. But the dude threw for over 5,000 yards in a season. I know he threw a lot of interceptions. Great. A lot of guys throw interceptions. The guy threw for over 5,000 yards. What if he comes in? Could he be the quarterback that you signed to a three-year contract? And it just...
Could he be Joe Flacco?
Well, Flacco's not the guy you signed for 3 years.
What I'm saying is, could he give you that same kind of lift?
Maybe.
That Flacco gave you?
Except Flacco came out of the blue.
Oh, out of everybody's blue.
You know, yeah. I mean, at least Jameis is here, and you know that's going to happen. I just think... If I'm the Browns, I don't feel that I'm married to Deshaun Watson anymore. Based on what's going on with quarterbacks in the
NFL. I don't
know.
Fiscally, you're still married.
I'm married for a year.
If you decide to get divorced, the alimony is through the roof.
Absolutely. Ask Denver about that.
Yeah.
Who now, without blinking an eye, brought in a guy who was a second overall pick and used the 12th pick on another quarterback. Mm. Boom, two guys there. Pittsburgh moves on from Pickett. Boom. You get a guy who is a Pro Bowler, and you get a guy in Justin Fields who a lot of people think has a great upside. And you don't pick up his option. Wow. In other words, Andy, teams aren't waiting around for these quarterbacks anymore.
No.
They're just not doing it.
I also think when you look at the grades of the AFC North, too, was another thing that I kind of was keeping my eye on. Yeah. I don't know. You're right. How do you grade the Browns on a curve because they didn't have a first-round pick?
I'm not even looking at it. Mike Hall, welcome to Cleveland. Welcome home. Zach Zinter, welcome to Cleveland. We're going to talk about Zach Zinter with John Jansen from the Michigan Radio Network coming up at 12:20. Next, you're the Cavs. You're home tomorrow night for Game 5. And Games 3 and 4 did not go well. What do you do? What do you do? 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps here on the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.